This is John Batchelor. It is the summer of 1862. Captain John Charles Carpenter, a man who is known to have many faces and guises. He is going to introduce us to a concept that seems very 21st century, and yet this is the Civil War at the opening, and it begins the story of the unvanquished, the untold story of Lincoln's special forces, the manhunt for Mosby's Rangers, and the shadow war that forged America's special operations. I welcome the author, Patrick K. O'Donnell, my good friend, to introduce us to Captain Carpenter, who is not trustworthy. And yet that is the nature of this business. These are very brave men who are also at the same time capable of betrayal. That makes the challenge of serving with them and using them in combat to be especially dangerous, and why so many of the commanding voices of the Civil War didn't trust it. Patrick, congratulations and good evening to you. Introduce us to Captain Charles Carpenter, and what is Jesse Scouts? Good evening.
Good evening, John. This is the Jesse Scouts were previously an untold story until the unvanquished. And their origins begin in 1861 in the battleground of Missouri, where it was brother against brother, neighbor against neighbor. It was a true insurgency in the Civil War. And John C. Fremont, the first Republican candidate for president in 1856, is in command of a army group at this point. And he introduces scouting or scouts to his group. He was known as the Pathfinder or the Explorer prior to the Civil War. He explores California. He employs scouts there, men of the West, trappers, hunters, expert men with guns. And he does it again under his command. And he brings together a group of scouts that had been trailblazers in the West. And John C. Carpenter is one of those men. And he's part of what they call the Jesse Scouts. And it comes from an extraordinary woman, and that is John Fremont's wife, Jessie, who is a senator's wife. She's charismatic. She's a brilliant woman that writes. And John often sends her to run interference for him when there's political issues involved. He's a senator in California before the war. And the men admire Jessie and name themselves after her. In fact, there's a contemporary account that says that she was the better man of the two between her husband and herself. And she's just an extraordinary woman that these men admire. And the scouts are, they develop tradecraft that's very much 21st century. They're commandos. They dress as Confederates. They wear Confederate uniforms. They disguise themselves. They infiltrate behind enemy lines. They go into places like Fort Donelson, for instance, and John C. Carpenter, who is the leader of this band, literally infiltrates and exfiltrates from the fort. There's detailed plans that he provides that may have been had a role in the actual capture of the fort. But he does things that are really interesting. One of his disguises is he actually goes out as a woman and escapes. But Carpenter, like many of the Jesse Scouts, have kind of a darker side. If it's not nailed down, they steal it. So this group has some great tradecraft that they develop, but they also have a checkered past, and this doesn't sit well with the U.S. Army. And John C. Carpenter is literally cashiered out of the Army for lying and stealing. And it's almost the end of the Jesse Scouts, because John Fremont, you know, decides to not take another command. And the group is nearly disbanded, but small elements of it remain, and they're passed from one command to another.
All right, we stop there, Patrick, because we go to the other side. Carpenter's cashier, summer of 62. It is now also the Confederacy's approach, but the Confederacy has something that will quite define the irregular soldiers, different from the Union, which is the Partisan Ranger Act. What is that, Patrick?
The Partisan Ranger Act is a way to sort of rein in irregular groups. Irregular groups during the Civil War would be guerrilla fighters. These would be men that were outside of the formal military command of the Confederacy, but the Partisan Ranger Act tried to rein them in and then also put them under the control or auspices of the Confederate Army itself. And these irregulars were quite effective. And it's in the, in many ways, it's in places like Missouri, but the cauldron of Western Virginia, which soon will be the new state of West Virginia in the summer of 1863, that these partisan rangers really blossom and come to effect. And it's on both sides that we see them. But probably one of the greatest partisan rangers is John Singleton Mosby.
Right. Mosby appears as a leader of a partisan band that is vouchsafed by Jefferson Davis and the Confederate Congress. They have permission here. They're not pirates. And Mosby is striking in the beginning for risk-taking. There's a place that you eventually call Mosby's Confederacy. Where is that, Patrick?
This is in Northern Virginia in Loudoun and Prince William counties primarily, and in some parts of Fairfax County. But this becomes a undefeatable bastion of guerrilla warfare. The North will throw tens of thousands of troops at Mosby's Rangers, and they are by and large never defeated. And it's this massive number of troops that are sent there that is exactly what Mosby wants. But let me just back up a second for Mosby. Fascinating story. 5'7", you know, 28 years old, 128 pounds, and his first guerrilla stint as a guerrilla fighter is a disaster. He is given authorization from Jeb Stuart, and he is at a train station with his only acolyte or follower, one man with a club foot, and they're captured by an entire company of Northern cavalry, and he's imprisoned. But he makes, you know, lemons out of lemonade, and in his imprisonment, he is exchanged for another Yankee officer. And as he is being transported down the river on a Union steamboat to the Confederacy and his freedom, he spies a massive number of Union reinforcements that are poised for battle. He recognizes that this is crucial intelligence. And as he gets off the steamboat, he immediately rides to General Lee's headquarters. And it's this lowly lieutenant that provides actionable intelligence for the Battle of Cedar Mountain. And it changes the course of that entire battle. And he's given more trust by men like Lee and Stuart. And he's given another chance. And in the winter of 1862, at a place called Oakham Manor, which is outside of Middleburg, he's given six more men in a try again at guerrilla warfare. And it's here he says, I will change things and I will create Mosby's Confederacy in these counties. And it's exactly what he does.
A detail is his relationship with Jeb Stuart. Who is Jeb Stuart at this point?
Jeb Stuart is a Confederate cavalry commander who commands a large portion of the South's cavalry, and Mosby is a trusted lieutenant of Jeb Stuart. They recognize that he's a lawyer, he's a brilliant man, he's unassuming, doesn't drink, he likes the original bean. In fact, he drinks only coffee that's real, but he is an incredibly smart and brilliant tactician, which will rein in what we now know as modern irregular warfare. Much of it is patterned after what Mosby does in his so-called Confederacy in Prince William and Loudoun County.
And I want to emphasize again, Patrick, which I learned from your book, Lee and Davis and Lincoln and Grant eventually, but certainly the commanding staff before Grant takes control in 64. They're ambivalent about partisan activity, correct, Patrick?
Lee is he's kind of two minds. He likes the idea of it, but he doesn't like the idea of the lack of discipline and the fact that these men, in some cases, can be very dangerous to the Southern cause because they will harm civilians or they will harm the reputation of the Confederate Army. It's about honor to them. So there's this kind of, it's a double-edged sword that he's kind of constantly playing with, but he recognizes there's an important role for covert and irregular warfare to change the dynamic of the Southern War because they never have enough men or material. So asymmetrically, it is a way to fight a war, and it's a brilliant way to fight a war.
But my interpretation, they have two minds, but at the same time, they never entirely endorse it and never entirely condemn it. Is that the way you read this?
That's exactly correct. But as we know, in the 20th century and 21st century, an insurgency that has the support of a population is almost impossible to defeat. And it's Mosby that is generating and creating what we now see as modern irregular warfare.
The book is The Unvanquished. I'm John Batchelor.